Hey, Sandals Church, thank you so much for joining us on this Good Friday. And I want to welcome all of our visitors who maybe have no idea what a Good Friday service is. And I just want you to know this is a great place for beginners to start their faith in Jesus Christ on a Good Friday. Obviously, things are changing. Things are very different. Originally, I had planned to have first staff around this table. Then I invited other pastors to join us around this table. And because of social distancing and the way that things are changing, I asked my wonderful family to join me around this table to be with you tonight as we celebrate the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to introduce you to my family. If you've never met them before, this is Madison Brown. She is the oldest in our family, and we just love her so much. Just an amazing leader working at Sandals Church, doing great things, and is also helping us with the technical stuff at home. So if you watch any videos from home, that is her, because Tammy and I are socially just off when it comes to technology. This is Kennedy. She is a senior at California Baptist University and does a lot of the creative work and some of the just artistic stuff that you see at Sandals Church. And so we love all of her contributions at Sandals Church. And this is my wife, Tammy Brown. Most of you know who she is. She runs our Cultivate ministry. She's really leading a big part of the charge for this whole organizational process. So all the things that are happening at sandalschurch.tv, that's all her. So you can pray for us as we work together, because that's so much fun. And then we have my son, Ethan Brown. He is 17 years old. He's a junior at Woodcrest Christian, and we're super excited to have him here. And I'm really, really proud of him, because this is not easy. This is very scary. To be open and vulnerable and to be recorded. And I want you to know, we're not actors, right? Nobody's an actor here. We're all real people. And I know you see that on the commercials. These are real people, but these are real people and they're not being paid. So just to clarify, nobody is being paid here. And so we want to invite your family into our family. And let me just say this, if you're new to Christianity and you don't even know what Good Friday is, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to remember the death of Jesus. And let me tell you why that's important. We live in a culture that is completely ignorant of death. Matter of fact, we abhor death of any kind to anyone and any creature. And that's really a problem, because in our culture, when we're ignorant of death, we become ignorant of how we should live. And so we need to think about death. I mean, there's a big movement, especially amongst the younger people, not so much our age. I mean, I guess some people our age, but there's this whole movement called veganism. Now, if you're a vegan for health reasons, that's great. If you're a self-righteous vegan, I want to challenge you. And here's why. Self-righteous vegans believe that it's wrong to kill animals to eat. I just want you to know, no matter what you eat, something died so you could live. The next time you're enjoying a tofu salad, I want you to think about the thousands of animals that died so they could grow that tofu, because they got to keep animals out of it so they could give it to you. And the same thing is true of that Beyond Burger that you're enjoying. The reality is, we eat nothing without something dying. And that's just one of the lessons that God wants to teach all of us. Something has to die so we could live. If you want new life in Christ, Jesus has to die. And so that's why it's so important when we gather around a table as a family and we pray and we ask God to bless our food. Maybe you need to remind your children that something died so we could live. Some animal gave its life so we could have physical life. God sent his son to die on the cross so we could have spiritual life. And so Good Friday is one of those events that we just kind of look over and we forget about. And I've asked my family to read Luke chapter 22, and I've just asked them, you know, if there's something that stuck out to you, if there's something that resonated with you. And so I would ask your family to read Luke 22 and talk about it. Maybe nobody has something to say. Maybe there's a lot to be said, but I just would encourage you to read that and look at, because Luke 22 and on all the gospels say a little something about the Lord's Supper, but we want to look at Luke 22 and just kind of sit there and see what the author Luke has to say about that first Good Friday Passover meal that we ultimately remember each and every week, or excuse me, each and every month at Sandals Church. We call it communion. Sometimes we call it Lord's Supper. If you're a Catholic, it's called Eucharist or Mass. But this is that first meal to remember the death of Christ. So who wants to go first? I asked you to read Luke 22. Was there something that jumped out at you when you read it? Any volunteers to go first?
I guess I can go first.
Did you feel like I was looking at you?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
In Luke 2:15, it says that Jesus eagerly awaited the dinner. How emotional do you think the dinner or the Passover was?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And so this is why I think family discussion is so important, because when I read through Luke 22, that didn't jump out to me. That's not one of the things that I noticed. And I wouldn't have noticed that if a 17-year-old didn't ask me, hey, Dad, what do you think this means? And I think it's interesting that this meal is something that Jesus looked forward to. This is gonna be the hardest night of his life. And here's the truth. One of the individuals at the table is going to betray him. It sold him out for money. And I want you to think about that. Maybe there's some discord in your family, some disagreements, some arguments, and you don't want to gather around a table. You don't want to extend grace. You don't want to give forgiveness. I just want you to know, Jesus knows that Judas is going to betray him. Judas has already sold him out. He's already accepted the money. And yet Jesus sits at a table and he says, man, I wanted to share this with all of you. I want this to be a part. And so Ethan, I don't know how emotional it was for him, but I know that word eagerly, this is something he really looked forward to. This is his last meal with his buddies for 3 years. He's poured into these guys. He's developed these guys. He's specifically selected these guys. And so I think there's a lot of emotion there. I think there's a lot of love. Specifically, I think there's love for Peter. And he talks to Peter. And Peter says, Lord, I'm gonna die for you. I'm gonna go with you to the end. And he looks at Peter and he says, man, before tonight ends, you're gonna deny me three times. And I think most of us have experienced betrayal. We've experienced somebody who said they had our back and then they didn't. And that's really painful. And yet Jesus says these words and he says, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And so when we were in Israel together in Nazareth, we went to a place where they showed us how you sift wheat. And you sift wheat by rolling it between your hands. And everything that's useless falls away. And I just think about that, Satan asking God for Peter. And I want you to know that Satan is asking for you and your family. And right now, God is praying for you and your family. Some of you are probably at each other's throats and you've spent way too much time together. I want you to know that Satan is trying to sift you as wheat. He's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to take your faith away from God. But here's what's interesting. Jesus still cares for Peter, even though he knows Peter's gonna fail. And he says this, he says, Peter, I've prayed for you. And when you return, think about that. And when you return after you fail, I want you to strengthen the rest of these. So Jesus' heart is for all these guys. And he knows that one is gonna commit suicide ultimately, but 11 are gonna be alive and they're gonna need to be encouraged. And out of the 11, he chooses Peter to encourage them. So that's a great question. Did you have anything else or was that good?
No, that's all I was wondering about.
Okay, good, because that's all I had.
I think that's what makes me think of so often, like for me, if somebody betrays me, I'm like, we're done.
Yeah.
And that's after they've done it. Jesus knew it was gonna happen already and still included them. I just think that's super powerful when you really sit in that thought of he eagerly awaited being with these people, even the ones that.
Yeah, and I think for me too, I've had people intentionally hurt me, and I think that I give myself permission to not forgive and not give grace, and yet there's Jesus, and you're not Judas, but you know, Judas is right next to him. And we don't know where he sat, but we know he's close enough because he takes Judas's hand, sorry, Ken, and together they dip it in the wine. So think about that. That's how close they are at the meal. So Judas is probably right next to or one person away, just an arm's distance from Jesus as he says, this is the one that's gonna betray me. And it's just really amazing that he was so loving to Judas to the very end. To the very end, he loved him and was gracious to him. Okay, anybody else? That was great.
I actually do have a question about Judas. It says that Satan entered Judas. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so if you're new to Christianity, we talk about being born again. And so when you're born again, what that means is you've repented of your sins, you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the Bible says, when you repent of your sins and you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he gives you the Holy Spirit, the helper that literally comes and lives inside you. And so here's the thing you need to know. You're gonna be full of one of three things. You're gonna be full of yourself, you're gonna be full of the Holy Spirit, or you're gonna be full of Satan's spirit. And you just gotta know that there is a spiritual battle that is very, very real, and it's happening all around us. And for some of you, that is terrifying, but it is very, very real. And that's why Jesus went to such lengths to save you and to save me, is because Satan right now is asking for all of us, tempting all of us, trying to pull all of us away. And that's very, very real. When we were in a discussion last night, I don't remember if you were there, but Tammy was 18 years old and I was 21 years old, fresh out of the army. And we were in New Testament together in college. And I'll never forget, the professor wrote on the board the very first day, he said, Satan is not real. And I turned to Tammy, I said, this guy's an idiot, which, you know, you can see why I struggled in school. And he said, I'll never forget, he stopped. He said, excuse me, Mr. Brown, which of course he knew my name because I'm a big problem and very loud. And my answer was, if Jesus believed in Satan, so do I. And that was my answer. And that's what I would say to you, for those of you who struggle, not just in believing in evil, but believing in evil that's personal. It's very personal, and he hates you because he knows this, the only way he can get to God is by getting to you. Satan can't hurt God, Satan can't defeat God, Satan can't win anything against God, and so his only weapon against God is you. And so he sifts you and pulls you and tries to separate you. And so he's already got Judas, and here's the thing is, he wants more. He doesn't just want Judas, he wants Peter too. He wants Peter. And so after that, does anybody else have any questions? I wanna make sure I don't skip over anything.
Well, I was gonna say from that, then it goes to Peter and betraying him. To me, that just makes me like think about how we, when we're not in a situation, are like, oh, we would never turn against God or go, but then we do, and then we're like, how did we get there? Like, can you speak to that?
Yeah, so it's
that
amazing.
That dynamic with Peter of swearing to the end he wouldn't. Like, here's what I would do for you, God.
Right.
But then when it happened, he didn't, and that just resonates with me.
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? So the disciples are all about, you know, we're never gonna betray you, we're not gonna leave you. And in the end, it's only the women who aren't even invited to this meal that hang in there. And I think that's because they'd already died. I think the men that surrounded themselves with Jesus thought they'd already died, but they hadn't. And so they bailed, every single one of them. But it's the women that were faithful to the very end. And I think that's incredible. And I would just say to a lot of you, what this crisis, this coronavirus crisis is revealing, it's who you really are. It's who God's always seen, and it's what God wants to save and what God wants to redeem. And you and I, we live in this fantasy world where we get to tell people what we would do. What I would do. That's why we criticize our politicians and our leaders, our bosses, because we're not in that seat. So it's easy for us to become the hero in the story and say, well, I would. And then you find yourself in that situation. When this whole coronavirus, this whole thing really started to unravel, and I realized we weren't gonna be able to meet as a church. I'm not kidding you. This is not an exaggeration. In Tammy and I's bedroom, I was in the room by myself, and I just fell on my knees, and here was my prayer. I said, God, please help me to lead our church through this. Because I knew the very worst of me would come out. I know that it's easier for me to choose fear rather than faith. I know those things about me. And so I said, God, I need you in this. I need to be extraordinary, and the only way that I can be saved from ordinary is Jesus, and I need that. And I just think that you need to look at yourself, and here's the thing, especially if you've been a part of Sandals Church for a long time. Some of you, this is what's so bizarre, some of you are shaking in your faith. Your faith is unraveling. Here's the bizarre thing. Thousands of people who have no faith are running to Jesus. What is that about? Christians are trembling and losing their faith, and lost people. Let me just tell you this, we don't even know yet how many thousands of people are watching Sandals Church TV. We can't count it, and we can't calculate it yet. It's that big of a number. Do you understand me? So while you in your home, you've had this little fake faith your whole life, it's unraveling. There are people that have never been to church before that are running to Jesus because they know they don't have the answer. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. And when I think about that, so as the disciples run, you have to remember when Jesus dies and he gives up his spirit, the Bible says. It says a Roman centurion who's standing there, a Roman guard, who has been, his job is to make sure Jesus dies. He steps back, and the moment Jesus dies, when everybody else is running, he says, surely this is the Son of God. Isn't that incredible? You see, crisis brings out who we really are, what we really believe. And I just would encourage you, man, if your faith is shaking, just stop tonight and say, Lord, please forgive me. Anybody else? That was great.
That just made me think of like, when we're not in crisis, we're thinking about what we want. In crisis, we're reminded of what we need, which is what we've all been doing in our home. We've been really thinking, what are the essentials? And so I think you see that there.
Yeah, and here's what I want you to know. Some of you, you feel pressed and you feel under pressure. I want you to know that Jesus on this night, as soon as this meal is over, it says he goes to his favorite place as was his habit, and it was the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, you've all been to Israel with me. You've all been to the Garden of Gethsemane. Does everybody remember? And I didn't warn them I was gonna ask this. So if they don't know, don't judge them. Does anybody remember what the word Gethsemane means in Hebrew?
Not a clue.
Is it on a hill?
On a hill, no, that's close. So here's what it means. Gethsemane in Hebrew means olive press. Mm. Olive press. And here's the thing, typically, olives are pressed 3 times. Now in America, because some of you are on a budget, it's pressed 4 and 5 times, but you don't want that olive oil from the very, very bottom. The best olive oil comes from the first press. And so that's when you go to the store, it says extra virgin olive oil. What that means is that olive oil has come from the first press. And so it's interesting to me, on the night that Jesus was pressed, so difficult. I mean, he literally had the weight of the world pressing on him. He goes to an olive press where he just feels it, and it says that he sweat drops his blood. That's the pressure that's being placed upon him. And multiple times he asks for prayer, because I think there were multiple pressings. So the first pressing is, okay, I gotta die for the sins of the world. Then he says, Father, if there's any other way, please don't make me do this. And then God says, no. Then there's a second pressing, an even more excruciating pressing. And so just think about that. And it was his favorite place to go. It was the place that he hung out. It was the place he went to get away from the busy city life of Jerusalem. So Jesus says, I've been eagerly awaiting. I've wanted to do this with you guys, and I want you to be a part of this. And I think part of it, Ethan, that the reason he was so excited is because this meal used to represent for thousands of years the Passover. And it reminded the Jewish people of what God did. Here's why I think this meal was so special for Jesus. Because Jesus knew that this meal for Christians would now represent what he did. So the Jews were passed over by the wrath of God because they put the blood of a lamb on their doorpost and God's wrath passed over them. Now on Easter, on Good Friday, the Lamb of God is going to die for the sins of the world, and his blood is going to cause God's judgment to pass over us. And it's a new agreement. The first agreement was with Jewish people. This new agreement is with all people who repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that makes Christianity so special. Most religions are ethnically tied to a specific group of people in a specific region on earth. Christianity is the first religion in the history of the world that goes everywhere, because this is a new covenant between us and God because of what Jesus Christ did. So you're looking at a lot of stuff here, and this is intimidating. Let me just say, your house doesn't have to look this beautiful. If this was me and Ethan, it'd be some toast and probably a glass of water. So here's what you need at your house to participate in the Lord's Supper. You need some kind of liquid. It can be water. It can be wine. That's what Jesus had. I would encourage you, if you're an alcoholic, it needs to not be wine. One of the things we do at Sandals Church, and a lot of you wonder why we use the grapes, because there's no plastic, right? So it's environmentally friendly. And I think it reminds us of the crushing that Jesus Christ goes through to save you. And it just literally, you just think about, how do you make wine? You crush the grape. And so Jesus Christ was crushed for you. And we have the bread. This is gluten-free bread, because the Browns are all allergic to everything. I mean, us too.
Us too.
Yeah, these people will all survive the apocalypse. Tammy and I, Madison and I will be with Jesus pretty quickly. So,
yes.
So here's what you need. You need some kind of liquid, wine, grape juice. If you have to use soda, that might get the kids excited. We're gonna use grapes, and then you need some kind of bread. It could be a Cheez-It. It doesn't matter what it is, it matters what Jesus did, and that's the important thing, that you remind your family of the goodness of Friday, that he died for us, and we have this new agreement with him. And here's the thing that's so amazing. I know I said we'd stay in Luke 22, but in Luke 23, Jesus goes to trial, and Pilate, the Roman governor, finds him innocent. And he brings out another guy named Barabbas. And here's what's interesting. Jesus Christ is condemned to die because he claims to be the Son of God. Now in Hebrew, there are two primary words for son, Ben and Bar. Ben and Bar. Okay, does anybody remember the word for father? The Hebrew word for father?
No.
Starts with an A.
Abba.
Abba.
I don't want to be wrong.
You made me self-doubt.
Abba. Don't doubt yourself, Abba.
Me and Madison are like...
Just so you know, just so you guys know, whenever you're on a test, your first response is usually the right one, and then we talk ourselves out of it. So Jesus is the Son of God. Pilate brings out Barabbas. So Bar means son, and Abba means what?
Father.
So what's his name?
Son of the Father.
Mm-hmm. So Pilate is asking us to choose between the Son of God and the Son of the Father. Here's the thing. Jesus has done nothing but heal the sick, minister to the poor, raise the dead, right? And feed the hungry. I mean, he has been amazing. Barabbas is a murderer. He's changed his name, probably. That's probably not the name he was born with, but he's changed his name as the Son of the Father. He's an activist. He's a terrorist. And he's killing people to bring about the kingdom of God. Jesus is going to die to bring about the kingdom of God. And Pilate says, who do you want? And the world chooses Barabbas, the false Son of God, and they murder the real Son of God. Isn't that interesting? And that's just one of those little things that oftentimes we miss in English because it's been translated. Who do you want me to save? Pilate says, the Son of God or the Son of the Father? And they say, give us the Son of the Father. And they killed Jesus. They killed Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. Jesus, on this night, he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Think about this. Jesus Christ died for you. All he asks you to do is to remember it. Remember that. And so the first thing he does is he breaks the bread, and I'm gonna give the gluten-free bread to me and Madison. You don't have to eat the whole loaf. We'll give the regular, beautiful bread to the other people. But what Jesus said is, he said, this is my body that was broken for you. So you need to have your bread in your hand, and if not, press pause, go get it. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna break it. And he broke it and he passed it around and they ate it. Or some translations say they dipped it in the wine. We're gonna eat the bread first and then drink the wine. So Jesus says, this is my body that was broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me. So do this right now. All right, I'm gonna lead us in just a time of prayer, and then we're gonna do the grape, and then we're gonna pray, and then it'll be done. So hang in there, especially if you got toddlers. We love you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you died for us on the cross. Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken so we could be healed. We love you so much, and we look forward, Lord, to our new bodies one day at the resurrection. Thank you so much for everything you've done. Help us to never forget this and remember this every single time we take the Lord's Supper at Sandals Church, that we live because you died. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The next thing he says is he has a cup of wine, and he says this represents a new covenant. So there are many covenants in the Bible. There's the covenant between God and Abraham. There's the covenant between God and Noah, right? There's all these covenants, and some of you don't need to know what these are, but they're arrangements between God and his people. And Jesus says this is a new covenant between God and all my people who believe in me, and it is sealed with his blood. And that's one of the things that made a covenant everlasting was it was typically like an animal was killed, something was done. And basically what you're saying is, look, if I break this covenant, what we've done to the animal, you're gonna do to me. And so here's what God's saying. I'm not gonna kill you if you break this covenant. I killed my son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, this blood represents a new covenant. So I want you to think about that. You don't have to feel bad because you're forgiven. You can give yourself grace right now. What the devil is saying, here's what the devil says, and I know he says this because he whispers this to me. Everybody else is forgiven but you. I want you to know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he looked at the people who were killing him, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is a better forgiver than you are a sinner. So just stop right now and just praise his name and say, thank you so much, Jesus, for dying for me and saving me. It's not about my sin, it's about my Savior. And so Jesus said, this is a new covenant. You can use a grape, you can use grape juice, whatever it is that you have. And just take it right now. And he said, drink this in remembrance of me. So let's do that at this time. All right, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would remember that you died for us so we could live. You gave up your life so we could have eternal life. And I pray, Father, as we turn towards Easter, that we would pause for a minute and remember the sorrow, remember the suffering, remember the darkness that the early Christians felt, because they didn't know that you were going to rise, even though you told them. And so, God, help us with expectation to prepare to celebrate Easter, even though, Lord, maybe it doesn't look like what we wanted it to look like. God, let us gather together, whether it's in person, Lord, with families, or on the internet. God, we ask that you would just strengthen us, and God, that we would be prepared to celebrate not just your death today, but your resurrection on Easter Sunday. Lord, we love you and we thank you for dying so we could live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I just want to say thank you so much for joining us, from our family to yours. We're praying for you. We love you. Stay safe, stay well, be wise, and we can't wait to worship together once again. Think about how amazing that's going to be, that day when we first get to come together, exchange hugs, shake hands. You know, maybe you still have to use Purell, but we're going to be able to come together and just worship. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again and connecting with you again. But know this, God is at work and he's doing great things. And I know that this Easter, he's going to save literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people's souls. So invite your friends to join us for our Easter weekend services, and don't miss this opportunity. Love you so much. God bless.